Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like everyone to know how much they appreciate our community during this very difficult time. They know this isn't easy for everyone, and that's why Schnucks is working around the clock to make sure they handle the needs of our community. Schnucks wants to say thank you for your support, your patience, and your never quit attitude, as we will all get through this together. Schnucks appreciates our community, and they want all of their shoppers to know how much they mean to them.
A Wednesday, and as always, we visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. We knew it was coming, but still a sad day yesterday. If you are a baseball fan like myself, like Brian Walton, who loves minor league baseball, has made a living off minor league baseball, covering the sport, specifically the Cardinals minor leagues, and it is the final say that minor league baseball is done for the year. Brian, good morning to you as always. How are things?
Fine, Dan. I just want to point out that it's been a very modest living, but I do thank those who support us through subscribing to the Cardinal Nation. Unfortunately, you know, a number of minor league teams and their employees, the local workers, are going to, you know, have an extremely tough year because there will be no minor league baseball in the 160 affiliated locations across the country. So that not only means that players won't play, but stadium workers and all, you know, won't be able to have the opportunity to have their jobs this summer either. And it's the first time in the history of baseball that the minor leagues haven't been able to play.
Yeah, and we should mention that the Cardinal Nation rolls on because it's not just the minor leagues that you cover. You cover the draft, you cover the Cardinals in Major League Baseball. But just your thoughts on no minor league baseball for the first time in so many years, so many decades.
Well, it's just disappointing. It's unfortunate. But, I mean, the reality of the virus and the situation and the different regulations in the states and the municipalities, it's just made this a reality that all the approvals necessary for fans to go to games just aren't going to happen. And they can't play in empty stadiums like the major leaguers because minor league baseball team revenue is based solely on what are called game day revenues, which are tickets, concessions, parking. And so without fans, they don't have those revenues. Now, the MLB organizations provide the players, and they've said, hey, you know, we're not going to provide the players this year. But, you know, I'm sure if the minor league teams could have found ways to allow fans in stadiums, there would have been a season. Ultimately, losing 2020 is chalked up to the coronavirus.
In terms of what happens with the players and the fallout there, now we do know that, for instance, the Cardinals will have a camp, if you will, the top prospects. They'll be in Springfield. But there's so many players that need development. What happens with those players now?
Well, they're going to have to continue to work out on their own primarily. Now, the one positive, and it is an important positive, is that the Cardinals have announced that they will pay all of their minor leaguers through the end of the season, the end of the minor league season, which is, you know, typically Labor Day. They're continuing to pay them the $400 per week. So, you know, that's a positive. There'll be 16 players that'll be invited to Springfield in what is called the alternate training site. They haven't come up with a catchy name for that. And that 16 in Springfield will grow when St. Louis reduces its 44 down to the opening day 30. So, you know, by opening day, the July 23rd, 24th, they'll be up to 30 players in Springfield, and they'll work out and scrimmage against one another and stay ready. And one of the things that John Mozeliak said over the weekend is that, assuming that there aren't any issues with coronavirus players among the 44 in St. Louis, he expects the majority of this group that will be in Springfield to be prospects. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see when they announce what that means, but it could not only mean, you know, the Nolan Gormans and the Liberators and Thompsons are involved, but maybe even some of the players that were drafted this year. We don't know yet, but it certainly looks like the group in Springfield will be pretty young. Those players are there as a reserve in case the major league team needs help, but there should be enough other guys when you've got a pool of 60 to be able to ensure that St. Louis has help if needed due to injury.
And is there any chance then that those teams somehow, some way, could play other affiliates with other organizations, or is that completely off the table at this point?
Well, I haven't heard it be put on the table. As you can imagine, the locations, well, Major League Baseball stipulated that they wanted all these alternate training sites to be within 100 miles of the Major League city.
Sure.
So the Cardinals actually got a little bit of a waiver for Springfield because it's technically just outside of 100 miles. But the point being, you know, they're spread all over the place, and there hasn't been any talk at all about, you know, putting people on buses or that kind of thing. But the good news is that the core of players, like I said, will be at least 30. So there'll be a good enough number of players that, you know, they'll be able to play each other. But, you know, that will get boring. But, hey, that's what spring training and extended spring training is about. The other point I just want to make about players is just the other day, word came out that organizational players will be allowed at the discretion of the major league team to play in independent ball if they want to try to keep in playing shape. Now, the reality is, fewer independent league teams are playing this year for the same reasons that the minor leagues can't play. And so there aren't as many spots to go around. There are these hundreds of minor leaguers who were just released, so everybody's looking for jobs. But probably the most important consideration for a player, if I'm part of an organization like the Cardinals, if I go play independent ball, there's a risk that I get injured. And if I get injured, the organization may or may not decide they want to keep me around. So, you know, some players right now are wary of, you know, even trying to consider playing independent ball because it could put their career at risk if things don't go well.
What about the testing for those players in Springfield? Is it similar to what we're hearing about with the players now coming back into the major league camps?
Yes, we don't have all the details yet, but the expectation is that they will use very, very similar protocols at the major league level to ensure these players are safe.
Okay.
But again, like we said, they're not going to be traveling. So, you know, their contact will only be, you know, when they're away from the ballpark. It won't be going to other cities.
Any players that you anticipate being in Springfield, Brian, that you keep an eye on outside of the names that we've heard that you mentioned earlier, Libertor, Gorman, some of the others, Zach Thompson, that you'll keep an eye on that, you know, we'll work with, also get into the coaches that'll be a part of this too. Who are some of the coaches and managers that'll be a part of this as well?
Well, they haven't announced all the minor league staffs, but one of the things that John Mozeliak was very clear about was that Jose Oquendo will be initially in the group in St. Louis, and then he'll also go down to Springfield as some of these players are cut from the 44 as they get down to 30. You know, those are the key names that we talked about. But, you know, again, if the draft picks are involved, Jordan Walker could be there, Mason Wynn, Tank Hentz, but also some of the top players taken last year, Thompson, Andre Pallante, Tony Losi, are guys that might play as well. So, Trajan Fletcher, again, very young. But if they make this a prospect camp, they could take some guys that have never played outside a short season. Gil, the shortstop, is one. John Torres, outfielder. So there's a number of guys that Nunez, the third baseman, who, of course, you know, hit so well in the Dominican a couple years ago. So there's a lot of candidates for those 16 jobs.
Brian Walden of thecardinalnation.com with us every Wednesday. 40 teams eliminated. We're going to hear about more and more about that as the minor league season now officially eliminated from Major League Baseball, but we're hearing about going in next season, 40 teams being eliminated. We don't know officially what 40 teams are going to be, though, eliminated, do we?
No, there's been a lot of work behind the scenes where affiliates are trying to decide what their future should be. There's been rumors that some may decide that they want to go the independent route, but that means that they would have to pick up costs of player procurement and salaries for the players and coaches, because in today's model, the major league parent handles all the expenses involved with, you know, staffing the team with players and providing a manager and coaches. So, but yes, Major League Baseball is still on their plan, which will basically have four full season affiliates per organization. And then the organization will be allowed to have camps in their spring training locations in Florida and Arizona. But what that means is that whole next tier of short season ball, which for the Cardinals includes State College and Johnson City, those teams will go away. And the point, while there's a lot of organizations, you know, there's a lot of cities trying to fight to save their teams, if one gets in, that just means another one is going to have to go out, because Major League Baseball's plans seem pretty strong, pretty firm right now. And I think the most disappointing thing to me, Dan, is that, you know, this announcement that was made yesterday about the minor league season being over means that the fans in State College, the fans in Johnson City, will never get a chance to see their team play their last season. You know, it could be that those teams are done forever.
That's really tough, you know, and you're trying to, all we've heard is trying to build up the game for those young fans and continue to grow the next generation. And so many times it's those young fans that'll see that guy come through that particular town, and then they go to the next city and the next level and eventually become a big leaguer. And, you know, you follow that guy, and that's what becomes so tough for me to handle that plan. I understand the economics of the game and the sport. I get it. I'm not paying and writing those checks, but I don't know, Brian, that becomes kind of the tough part about this for me.
Yes, we just get the feeling, and maybe it's because we feel more strongly about this because we're weary having gone 3 months of arguing over money, but it just seems like, you know, baseball is being managed like any other corporation where the focus is on the bottom line. How do I maximize revenue and cut expense? And, you know, baseball is a public trust, and they need to be investing in their future. And the feeling of a lot of folks are that they're not paying attention. They don't really have their eye on that ball. And, you know, Ian Desmond from the Rockies, one of the players who's opted to not play this season, put up a very, very heartfelt message to fans. And a lot of attention was focused on his concerns about race and how that's been handled in baseball. But he also talked a lot about his experience as a youth and the importance of grassroots support of baseball to the future of the game. And, you know, I just feel a lot better if I could see the leaders of the game, like a Rob Manfred, stand up and talk about growing the game and the importance of the future, and not just about how much money's being made or, you know, how much is being spent. And it's just a disappointing place. It's just been a tough year for baseball all around.
What are you excited about with the camp in Springfield? As a guy that follows these young players, what excites you, even though there's not games, but what do you think we can take as a positive? And again, it's evaluation against competition, but what do you think the clubs can take away with some of these camps as they try to develop these players?
Well, they're looking at making sure that the top prospects are going to continue to get work. And remember, there's 14 players, 14 plus then four more as they get into August, who are going to end up in Springfield, who are in St. Louis now. So, you know, it could very well be guys like Genesis Cabrera and Fernandez and Cody Whitley and Herrera and Edmundo Sosa and even Dylan Carlson, you know, are going to be in Springfield for a while. So there are going to be some very, very good players who are down there, and they know that they need to stay ready because that call could come from St. Louis at any point in time. Plus, there's something called the taxi squad, which is going to consist of three players from this Springfield group that will travel with the major league team while they're on the road. One of those is going to be a catcher. So, you know, and those guys could change based on the road trip. So, you know, there's going to be an opportunity for all these guys in Springfield, not only to continue to work on their own development, but to try to compete so that they can be one of the guys on the taxi squad to spend time with the big league club.
We've seen the draft come and go, and the Cardinals are signing player after player. Just let's put a bow on the 2020 draft as Brian Walton evaluates the talent that has come through and the way that they allocated their funds. What did you think of how they did that and what went into the draft of the St. Louis Cardinals?
You know, we've talked before about, you know, Randy Flores now has been in his job for multiple years, and some of the drafts have gone well. Some of them, like 2017, that was hurt by the Fowler signing and the Houston hacking, didn't go so well. But I will tell you, I am very, very impressed by the job that Flores and the Cardinals did in this draft. Not only in the selection of players, because they took some gambles with three, you know, high-ceiling high school players in their first three picks, but then they followed it up with five college players, including some very good pitching talent. So, but I think the thing that I really liked about the draft was how they had a plan to spend their money, because Major League Baseball dictates the ceiling, the cap that teams can spend on their draft picks. Now, they could move money around between players, but they have to stay to a total. And it was clear that Randy Flores had a plan in order which guys he was going to sign in which order to make sure that he had enough money to get them all done. And he did. Ian Bedell from Missouri was the last one to sign. But they got all the guys signed under budget, but also very, very quickly. I mean, literally within like 3 weeks of the draft, all the guys are done. And a lot of the major league organizations aren't. Now, granted, the deadline's not till August 1st, and there's no games being played. So there's not a huge rush. But I just like the fact that it was pretty clear the Cardinals had a plan and they executed it very well. Now, the key will be, will any of these guys from this draft, you know, be a part of the guys in Springfield? They didn't get to play a spring season. Normally, you'd say, well, draft picks, they're tired because they played their full high school or college season. Well, these guys didn't. So, you know, ideally, you know, you'd find a way to bring all seven of them in. But, you know, again, there are other guys in the organization that they have to invest in as well. So there's going to be some very tough calls made regarding, you know, which players get signed to Springfield.
They also signed a young man from the Dominican, throws triple digits. Am I correct with that?
That's right. A pitcher named Edwin Nunez, he got $525,000. Now, you know, that's a pretty good size signing bonus, normally bigger than the Cardinals give. Now, it could have been more, but Edwin Nunez is 18 years old, which is a little bit old for prospects normally that come out of the international program. But this is what, you know, something the Cardinals have done before. The reason that Nunez was available so long, there was some issue that regarding his background that kept him ineligible a little longer than usual. But I mean, a guy who throws 100 miles an hour has a curve and a changeup as well. And, you know, good size, 6'3", is a guy that maybe, you know, could move fairly fast through the system. And he's another one where you say, well, you know, do you send him to Dominican? Where do you go to, you know, get him his initial attention? But the Cardinals have basically, for their international program, gone more for a quantity rather than high quality. Luis Robert, the big player that the White Sox have that's close to the major leagues, the Cardinals, you know, bowed out of the bidding on him when it got over $50 million. But, you know, they typically go for signing a lot of less expensive guys and hope that a few of them will come through. So, you know, Nunez was the highest bonus from this year's class that I'm aware of for the 37 guys that they've already signed during this July 2nd period.
And finally, Brian, even though the minor league season is at this point canceled, we hope to have minor league baseball next year. But everything continues at thecardinalnation.com. So what are you working on?
Well, the most recent article up, I went through this whole pluses and minuses of all the various candidates the Cardinals might bring into this alternate spring training site in Springfield. They said if they were just going for major league ready guys, here's the guys they would take if they just went for prospects. And then I kind of landed in the middle and gave my predictions of how I think it would be. We've also have a story, of course, about Nunez, a story about Randy Flores' plan that I covered briefly, stories, backgrounds about each of the prospects that the Cardinals drafted and signed, including stories about their backgrounds and their family and their coaches talking about. And we're going to continue to cover as we get through the summer camp in St. Louis and get toward opening day on July 23rd or 24th.
I hope we get there. Fingers crossed. What do you think? I think we can do it. I hope we do.
I think we'll get there. The question will be, how long can we stay there? And, you know, everybody's got their fingers crossed at this point.
You got it. Thanks, Brian. We'll catch you up next week. I appreciate it.
Take care, Dan.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Lou Hughes, we are St. Louis.